Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, and we will read the first 23 verses, Mark 7, 1 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Isn't it interesting? We are kind of left to our own imaginations to think of the response from these Pharisees and teachers of the law, because it's not recorded for us here. But this is a pretty heavy-handed accusation from Christ. Of course, absolutely true, applied absolutely correctly, for the hypocrisy and the condition of their hearts. Verse 8 again, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Imagine saying that to a Pharisee who was supposed to be a teacher. The Word of God, that was their responsibility. Jesus just told them, "You've let go of that." Verse 9, "And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions.'" We'll talk about this later, but be clear what's going on here. Not only in addition to the Word of God, but setting the Word of God aside and replacing. Not good. Verse 10. "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say," here's a contrast, right? Moses says this, the Word of God says this, and he comes right at them again with an error on their part because he's contrasting what they say. Verse 11, "But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus, you nullify the Word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Very heavy stuff here from Jesus to the Pharisees. Again, Jesus called the crowds to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Why is he saying this to the crowd? Well, remember, what's the Pharisees' big problem here with Jesus' disciples? They're being unclean. They're not washing their hands. That was the tradition that was handed down. So they had a big problem with that. We'll get into more of that about appearances. But Jesus tells them the important thing is what comes out of a man. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. So Jesus basically says the Pharisees have it all wrong. They're looking at everything on the outside, and as we know, God looks at the heart. Verse 17, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. There's one of those lists that our brother had drawn our attention to this morning. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Sure, you noticed a few references to the heart in this passage that we read this morning, and we will look at that. The title of my message is Don't Neglect Your Heart. Don't neglect your heart. For a long time, for centuries, it's been difficult for God's people to place the correct value on living the life that is acceptable to God, as opposed to living the life that is acceptable in our own spiritual circles. Now, that might seem a little confusing, so let me pause and try to explain a little bit, because that might seem like it's the same. Living a life for God and also living a life that is acceptable in our own spiritual circles, whether it's the church or Israel, isn't always the same, and often it's not. For whatever reason, we go to great lengths to make sure that other Christians only see our best face, see that outward appearance. Much like the Pharisees, and this morning is not meant to offend anyone, but guarding our hearts is very, very important, so we need to talk about these types of things. The Pharisees were very concerned about that outward appearance. So much so that they would, as we read, elevate the tradition of elders above the Word of God so that other people would see them doing the extra washing. Washing of the hands, washing of the cups, washing of the kettles, so that they could be perceived as extra special or truly spiritual. That was very important to them. And Jesus calls them out on it. So, not much has changed. We go to great lengths to make sure that other Christians see our best face. It's important to us that other people think well of us and think good of us, regardless of what the real story is, what really might be going on in our lives. The great danger here is that that can become the goal, and then we end up neglecting our hearts. We're so concerned about what others see when they look at us for the wrong reasons and the wrong motives that we focus on that a lot, to the neglect of our hearts. Well, this is hypocrisy, really. We read about this. Verse 6, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So they say the right things, just like we can do today. We can say the right things. We know how to do that, but sometimes the hearts can be far from God. So while this kind of hypocrisy is certainly bad enough in itself, there are other dangers that come with it. One of them being that while we work hard to look good on the outside, we work hard to do things and say things so that other people will accept us, at the same time, we are neglecting the inside. Of course, the wiser course of action would be to carefully carry out the necessary work to nourish a godly heart. And the outward appearance that pleases God will most certainly follow if we're taking care of the inside, if we're taking care of the heart. So an overemphasis on our outward appearance. We're not talking about our clothes or our teeth or our hair or makeup or what have you. We're talking about this great desire that we have for people to look at us, accept us, and to say, what a great person that is, will lead to a serious neglect of our hearts. I think it's seen very clear in the lives of the Pharisees. So this morning will be a message of warnings, I guess, about not neglecting the heart. We'll look at three different areas here, and I would just suggest as we look at each one of them that we evaluate and say, is this true of my life? And if so, let's ask ourselves the question, am I so concerned about making sure that I'm accepted or I look good on the outside that I've neglected my heart? So what are those signs? Well, look at a few of them this morning. As Jesus warns the Pharisees and teaches his disciples and others, we see the signs of a heart that is neglected in favor of a more attractive outward appearance. So the first one, first sign of a neglected heart is criticism. A neglected heart is characterized by criticism. Now, right before chapter 7, at the end of chapter 6, Mark reminds his readers that Jesus is working in the midst of the people with great physical and spiritual needs. And if we look at verse 53, it says, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. So here is Jesus doing what he often did, going to different places and drastically changing people's lives, physically and spiritually too, and people were being healed. So the Pharisees and the teachers, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 7, had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus. So they knew of Jesus. They've already had contact with him, and certainly at this point, Jesus' reputation and what Jesus has done is known throughout many, many regions. But earlier in Mark, and I have it here for you in your notes, chapter 3 and verse 2, it says some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So they were already looking for opportunities to criticize Jesus. So looking past what they knew about Jesus and what he was doing in the lives of people, they had come to be critical, and that's what they did. And by directing their criticism at Jesus' disciples, they were indirectly criticizing him. And we read that in these first few verses. So again, verse 5, so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? So here's a criticism directed right at Jesus, because these are Jesus' disciples. He says, your disciples. And the crime that they were committing, supposedly, these disciples, is that they weren't following the tradition of the elders. Now, the tradition of the elders was not Scripture. Remember what we read? Jesus says, you're taking one and replacing the other, so they can't be the same thing. This was the oral law that was supposedly given to Moses by God, though it was not written down, of course, like the Mosaic law, but was handed down through the ages orally. And the Pharisees held everyone to the traditions just as they did to the law. The condition of their hearts is revealed in their question in verse 5. It could have been a legitimate question. They could have come to Jesus and said, we don't understand why your disciples are doing this, because this is what we do, but we know, because we know about who the Pharisees are and the teachers of the law and what they wanted to do, this was a criticism directed at Jesus through his disciples. So what could have been a legitimate question, if motives were right, was certainly a question from hearts that were neglected. And it comes out through criticism. They really didn't want to know the answer. They wanted to confront Jesus, and they wanted to appear to be righteous. So they say, look at what we do. Not only do we follow the law, but we also follow the traditions of the elders handed down through the ages. We are better than your disciples, and therefore we are better than you, because your disciples don't follow the traditions of the elders. Great criticism. Now, this is legalism at its finest, or at its worst, however you want to look at it. Requiring others to follow extra-biblical or non-biblical rules and judging them when they don't. At its heart, legalism is practiced to make ourselves look spiritually superior. Look at me is what it is. Look at me and look at how much better I am than you. And this is what the Pharisees were involved in. Confronting Jesus, saying, your disciples are doing it wrong. So they thought that they had him, like they often do, thinking that they had cornered Jesus, but they would find out soon that they hadn't. It's really not hard to make ourselves look superior. The Pharisees did it quite well. Just do a lot of extra things that God's not required, and then criticize those who don't do those things. They clearly had heart issues. If they were truly concerned about the purity of their hearts, they would have not criticized. If we're truly concerned about the purity of our own hearts, we will not be concerned about belittling others. We won't be concerned about making sure we look good in front of others. Not to be confused with a righteous life that should indeed have a good testimony, have a great testimony, but with the wrong motives, trying to look good in front of others results in neglect of our own heart. If we have a pure heart on the inside, the outside appearance will be honoring God. So as I mentioned before, let's evaluate. Do we have a critical heart? Critical thoughts? Do we find ourselves often thinking critically of other people, putting other people down, belittling other people? If so, we need to check our hearts, for it has been neglected. When we criticize other people, it is an effort to put them down, and the reason we want to put other people down is to elevate ourselves. That's an overemphasis on the outward appearance. And it will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. Another serious and dangerous symptom of a neglected heart has to do with our response to God's word. So, number two, a neglected heart is desensitized to the word of God. Number one, being critical, tearing people down, belittling people, shows a neglected heart. Number two is being desensitized to the word of God. So we pick this back up in verse 6, where Jesus responds to the question, which is really an accusation, and he responds to it with very blunt truthfulness. And his answer is that because you emphasize the outside, your hearts are out of touch with what is truly God's word. So he uses God's word to make this point. He said Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. So he uses Isaiah 29 to tell them of their hypocrisy. Their hearts are far from God, and their worship is in vain. And that should not be lost on us. Jesus telling these Pharisees, your worship is in vain. He's applying this passage to these religious leaders of the day. Your worship is in vain. Because the praise of men was so important to them, they neglected to care for their hearts. And now this terrible replacing of God's word has taken place. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Then in verse 9, he gives them an example of this. We read it, but we'll take a look at it again. He said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. And he just keeps repeating that, driving that home. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, so again, as I pointed out before, the Word of God says, honor your father and your mother, but you say something different. So this idea of Corban is going to be something different than honoring father and mother. So let's see if we can figure out what that is. Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban. That is a gift devoted to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. So basically, the Pharisees are taking the Word of God that says, honor your father and mother, and then they're adding something different. And it appears to be something along the lines of, instead of honoring your father and mother, saying, well, I can't honor you, I can't provide for you, because whatever that was, I've devoted to God. They made up a different rule. Whatever help you might have otherwise received from me, that we can interpret that as honoring father and mother, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the Word of God by your tradition and you have handed down. And you do many things like this. Many things like what? Misusing the Word of God. Many things like having the truth and replacing it with something else. Many things like not understanding the Word of God. That their hearts had been hardened to the truth of God's Word is easily seen, and that when they were confronted by that truth, it had little, if any, effect on them. If we were to read further into chapter 8, we would see they were back at it again with Jesus testing him. No change of heart in the lives of these men. The Word of God had come through Jesus' own words, also through the law of Moses, and nothing had changed. They were desensitized to the Word of God. Hebrews 4:11-12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God from Jesus exposed them, but their hearts were not fertile ground where growth could occur. Their hearts were like dry, parched, cracked soil, like stone. And this comes from spending too much time focusing on what we look like on the outside so that we will be noticed and praised by men. And that was their reputation. They wanted to be noticed and praised by men. They wanted people to look at them. And since they spent so much time on that, undoubtedly, they neglected their hearts. So when the truth came to them, almost all of them, we find the rare occasion, like a Nicodemus. But as we look at Scripture, we see that these Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not receptive to it when they heard the truth. But that would never happen to us, right? Well, sure it could. And it will if we think we can live our lives without a regular washing of our hearts by God's Word. It's easy for us to be attracted, like the Pharisees were, to the praise of men. To look good on the outside at the expense of tending to our hearts. And when that happens, we will confuse the truth of God's Word for substitutes. And it happens all the time. We should all regularly be asking ourselves if our desire of approval from others has replaced our desire for the truth. Sometimes we seek that approval from unbelievers. And if and when we get that approval from them, we are fooled into thinking that it is a valuable replacement for God's approval. Are we willing to forego the praise and acceptance of men so that we will be sensitive to God's Word? I hope that we are. When we overemphasize this outward appearance, it will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. We will be desensitized to the Word of God. Finally, if we don't take care of our hearts, it will be seen by our efforts to indulge ourselves. So the third warning, the neglected heart seeks to satisfy the flesh. So we'll come back now to verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, every one of you, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." So Jesus continues on this same theme of what makes a person clean or unclean. And he emphasizes the inside as opposed to the outside. Right? Remember the question from the Pharisees. It was all about, hey, what's going on with your disciples? They're being unclean. They're practicing unclean practices. They're not doing what we think they should do. So, in the mind of the Pharisees, they could criticize Jesus about this because his disciples, the ones that he's teaching, the ones that follow him, were unclean. Didn't wash their hands before they ate. So Jesus now corrects this spiritual issue. He says, what goes from the outside in does not make a person unclean. It is what goes from the inside out that makes him unclean. So undoubtedly, this was a new teaching for the disciples. They would have been familiar with the law, with the traditions of the elders as well. And their question for Jesus in verse 17 shows that they were confused. And Jesus' response shows that they should have understood what he was trying to say. So, verse 17, they asked him to ask him about the disciples. He said, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart. We always come back to this, the heart issue. The heart. Jesus repeats it time and time again. He uses Scripture in verse 6. The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And then he expounds on that. For it doesn't go, verse 19, for it doesn't go into his heart. It's not what comes in from the outside. It's all about the heart. So Jesus explains to his disciples that being clean or unclean is not a matter of what you eat or drink, it's a matter of the heart. Verse 19, for it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. In verse 20, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. What people do makes them unclean. That's the sinful practice. It's not whether or not you wash your hands or cups or kettles. It's how clean the heart is. Verse 21, from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Again, the outward acts of washing hands, cups, pitchers, etc., was a way for some to bring the praise of men to themselves. And as usual, it results in a neglect of the heart. An emphasis on looking good. That's an attempt to satisfy our flesh. When this is emphasized, it is the heart that suffers. And let me just try to restate the point. If we desire to live a righteous life and we are characterized by a righteous life, then in the family of God with brothers and sisters, certainly the outward appearance would be a good outward appearance. That's not what we're talking about this morning. That's what should be. What we're talking about is a lifestyle such as the Pharisees, where we focus with the wrong motives on the outward appearance, by doing the things that we think will gather for us and gain for us the praise of people at the neglect of truly dealing with our hearts. And that's what Jesus was referencing to. And I'd like you to now turn to John chapter 12 as we look more at the lives of these Pharisees. This is the chapter that, in this portion that we're going to read, is the list of woes that you might be familiar with. We'll start with verse 37. And I've got the wrong passage there. I apologize. I apologize for that. We will skip that at this point, but it is a list of woes that does continue to talk about these Pharisees continually looking for the praise of men and the problems that they had because of that. So let's just recap a few things to look at when it comes to characterizations of people who may have neglected their heart, things that we can be wary of and be warned about. Number one, do we criticize others? Are we often thinking critical thoughts of others so that we can build ourselves up? That's a sign of a neglected heart. Are we desensitized to God's Word? Does the Word of God come to us and then we see on a regular basis it doesn't seem to make a difference? The people come to us with the Word of God and teach it to us and give it to us, and things don't seem to change. And finally, the third warning about having a neglected heart is, does our lifestyle show that we are seeking to satisfy our own flesh? And let's end up with just a few proverbs from various places in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 16 and verse 2 says, "All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." Proverbs 21 and verse 2 says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." Proverbs 27:19 says, "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." It's very interesting. In a sense, as we look at a mirror, the reflection of water, what we're looking at, we can't look at that and say, well, that's not really what I look like, although we would like to say that sometimes, maybe. Because, as they say, the mirror doesn't lie. That's the reflection of what we appear to be. And that's the way our heart is. So a man's heart reflects the man. The heart is who we are. And we can't deny it. And then Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." What do you think of when you think of guarding something? A guard? I think of mine, you may be different to you, but to me right away a military picture comes into my mind, maybe people guarding a gate, guarding an entrance to something, guarding a group of people, usually with some types of weapons, so that whatever they're guarding is safe and it's not attacked. When you think about guarding, I could probably say that you're not thinking of an absence of some kind of action, right? Just leave something alone and it will be guarded. We don't think like that. So let me ask you, do you guard your heart? And if your quick response is, yes, I guard my heart, let me ask you then, how do you do that? How do you guard your heart? I'm not going to talk about answers. I just want you to think about that. Because God tells us, above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. So once again, don't neglect your heart. Guard it. Don't be so concerned about the praise of men that your heart suffers for it. An overemphasis on our outward appearance will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that we open it and we see your great love for us, shown to us in many ways, and one of those ways is to warn us about our own selves, about our own tendencies and temptations and things that we may easily succumb to. We ask that you would help us to take seriously the charge to guard our hearts and to be clean on the inside, to nourish the hearts that you have given us and to train ourselves in righteousness. We thank you that you have changed our hearts and now we can live for you. Help us to take the blood of Christ seriously and understand that these hearts that you have given us are to be used and these lives are to be lived for you. We ask this in Jesus' name.